You're listening to Marketing News Canada, Canada's number one show featuring the brightest minds in marketing, PR, and digital advertising.
Welcome to another episode of Marketing News Canada. Today, we're lucky enough to have Joe Glover joining us. He's founded the marketing meetup 5 years ago in a survey in Cambridge as a hobby because he was terrified to walk into networking situations. Super relatable. 5 years on, the group unites over 20,000 marketers from Torbay to New York with talks about marketing and networking that don't make you feel slimy when you walk out of the room. Joe, great to meet you. Great to have you. Our listeners are definitely very excited for this one.
Thank you for having me. It's a real pleasure. And, you know, I've got my sympathy for you. We're recording right now, midway through your heat wave. And like, I don't know how you're doing it. So hats off to you as well. Appreciate you taking the time and being so resilient through the heat.
Oh, appreciate that. I know a lot of our listeners can definitely feel, it'll take them back to PTSD by the time this gets released when they'll remember the things. Joe, I actually find that part in your bio super interesting when it says, you know, marketing and networking doesn't make you feel slimy when you walk out the room. I get what that means. I can definitely resonates with me. What does that mean to you?
I think so much of networking events is designed to be a bit of a dehumanizing experience. And that sounds like strong language, but let me explain a little bit more.
Please.
When you walk into these rooms, the first thing you experience is, you know, granted in a pre-COVID world would be those circles of people stood with their back to you that you kind of feel like you have to sort of break into, where you have to sort of go, oh, hi, I'm Joe. And first of all, I would never, ever do that. I would 100% be the guy in the corner on my phone, hiding, wishing somebody would say hello to me. So that's sort of like the first barrier that you kind of need to get over. But even if you do get over that barrier, you then walk into a scenario where you're having to introduce yourself in a business context. So you're saying, hey, I'm Joe. I represent the marketing meetup. We have 50 people and a budget of whatever. All that does is takes it away from you as a person and into like, this is my job title. So judge me based on how important I am in the company. And this is how much money I've got to spend. And if neither of those things match up to the expectations of the person receiving that information, they just walk off. You know, they either walk off or you have this vacuous conversation where it's quite clear the person in front of you doesn't want to be there anymore. And by the end of it, neither of you feel particularly fulfilled. And by the time you walk out the room, you're like, you know what? I feel a little bit sweaty. I feel a little bit flustered. And that was a horrible experience. Exactly. 100%. Like everyone in Vancouver right now. And like, so when I say not slimy, I mean, really what I mean to say is that's the negative on what is a positive, which is that you can walk out of these experiences and come out of it feeling uplifted and energized and feeling like you've had a really nice time and met other people based on the humanity and the contents of their personality rather than your job title or your budget or who you represent. All those things never, ever matter really until you've actually got to know the person behind them.
Joe, that is such a good point and context. I say exactly the same thing about why I like Vancouver versus Toronto. I feel like anytime in Toronto when I'm at an event or a business event, first question, what do you do?
Yeah,
that resonates really strongly with me. Great way of putting it. Now, that's actually a great transition to my next question, which is, tell me about the community you've built. So what is the marketing meetup? And let's start there. I do have quite a few questions about that, but what is the marketing meetup?
So the marketing meetup acts as a solution to that scenario that we've kind of outlined. It's a place where people come and have their humanity valued before their job title or their budget, or even the things in their head. People can come to learn, to listen, to say hello. And we use the term to be positively lovely, which the idea behind that really is that people come to give first and then look to receive later. In that sense, it truly becomes a community because these folks are not coming for the personal gain. They're looking to benefit the community at large. The marketing meetup used to be in-person events. That's how we did what we did. So like, if you think about the most important thing, community sits at this fundamental layer. Whatever we do, community is at the heart of what we do. But then in terms of sort of like the tactical implementation of that, we mainly do events. So in the pre-COVID world, that was in-person events. So we ran events in 13 locations across the UK. We just started in New York I spent the years studying in Hamilton near Toronto. So like, you know, that was, or Toronto, if I'm saying it properly.
Toronto.
That's where you just like end up making a sound at the end. You just like, and then people are like, I know what you're talking about. But like, you know, we were going big on the in-person events, and then COVID struck. So now we exist in a virtual world. We will bring back in-person events eventually, but we're doing the best we can. So main offering, so to speak, is weekly webinars, but weekly webinars with the world's greatest marketing minds, the likes of Rory Sutherland, Mark Ritson, Ram Fishkin, you know, people like that, which is then matched by this incredible group of people who come week in, week out. And like, you've never seen the chat feature like it. Honestly, it's ridiculous. This is slightly tangential to your question, but I think it's a relevant point.
Please.
The community can exist in the virtual world and can be exist through a simple mechanism like a Facebook group or a chat feature on a Zoom call. And like, I've seen people every week find other people jobs. I've seen people support each other who aren't feeling great. I've seen people arrange walks when we were like in lockdown sort of time, just one-on-one to support each other. You know, whatever it is, like these simple mechanisms that bring people together, that's what we do with the Marketing Meetup. We just put up a best foot forward, acknowledge that we're all making it up as we go along, but you know what? Have a lot of fun doing it as well. And it's just
sounds like you've changed a lot of people's lives. I don't mean to make it sound too overblown. Darian, the founder of Marketing News Canada, he reached out to me at one of these marketing events, exactly what you said. And to this day, a lot of the points that you just went into and explained the value of is pushed forward by the community he's built here. So that is something that is really relatable and really good to hear.
Absolutely. Well, you know, these relationships, and so often it might be in 3, 4, 5 years time, you're like, oh, what was that event we met at? And, you know, and you're doing it over drinks, you know, whatever. And it almost doesn't matter. You know, if you created that human connection, then that lasts a lot longer than, you know, my expectation about anyone sticking around for every one of our webinars for the rest of the time. The thing that is interesting is connecting people. So I love to hear that that exists around the world as well. It's such a positive thing.
I know a few people that make it their goal to introduce at least one good connection a week. A lot of these people are East Coast, are Toronto and New York. and it sounds like you do this, but on steroids. You connect hundreds to thousands of people and you do it regularly. And I think the value there, it must be so rewarding for you to see. I love that little motto that you guys have.
It's great fun. It's honestly the biggest pleasure. And, you know, I mean, this is a slight overshare probably, but my first job I took on the basis of money alone. I was told that I'll be on $100,000 after 5 years, you know, which was like, for me, that was bonkers, you know, absolute bonkers. I couldn't think of earning that amount of money.
Yeah, an infinite amount of money.
100%, absolutely. And I ended up quitting that job after 6 months. You know, I'm really, really glad I had that experience up front, because it taught me that the rest of my life wasn't going to be lived in a way which money was going to be the deciding factor. So, you know, I would never claim to have changed people's lives, but what I would say is that there's been a bunch of people come together who have had the opportunity to create something on the basis of this platform that we've created them. And there have been a bunch of people who have taken advantage of that. And that's a life well lived. And I feel very fortunate to live that life.
Joe, this is great, because I think our listeners would really love to hear, like, what is your origin story? So, you know, part of that journey of that $100,000 unlimited money job to quitting, to focusing on community and building a community. What got you into marketing? And, you know, tell us your origin story. How did, please share with our listeners, how did you go from postgraduate to, or you know, whatever, all the way to founding the Marketing Meetup?
So the first job was that aforementioned, I'm going to take this job for the money job. So that was as a IT consultant, SAP consultant. So I was going into FTSE companies and sort of consulting on their software systems and stuff like that. I didn't know what I was doing, but I was being charged at many hundreds of pounds a day, which is an interesting dynamic. After that point, So my degree, I've only got an undergrad degree, mm-hmm. but that was in business. And my dissertation was on complaining via social media. And social media has always been something that I've always been good at, I guess. I don't pat myself on the back too often, but like I would say that that's been something I've been good at over the course of time. I love writing, so it kind of suited that. And even while I had this job, which I kept for 6 months, I was still blogging about social media. It was still nice. Something that kept me interested. And so graduate Joe, 6 months into employment, well, social media is marketing, right? That's what I thought it was. So I was like, yeah, well.
Can you give our listeners kind of a timestamp? When was this? 2007, 2006, 2008?
So this would have been 2012. Yeah, so I graduated 2012. Yeah, around then.
Got it.
No, 2014, sorry.
2014. Graduate
then. 6 months later, so that was September. So it took me into 2015. Started work as a marketing manager in a conferencing company. So the conference that I was working for was a Business of Software. And I was really, really lucky that at Business of Software, our speakers were like Rory Sutherland, Seth Godin, David Cancel, Joanna Weeb, April Dunford, all these amazing people. So that was my education. That was my marketing education.
Wow.
I sat back listening to these people. And I was part of a 3-person company as well. So,
and you were getting paid to learn from these people.
Absolutely.
Unbelievable. And, yeah,
it was unbelievable. And so I learned from these folks over this period of time. But at the same time, I had this awareness that I was terrified of networking. I was by myself and I wanted to learn about marketing, but I was terrified of networking for all the reasons we explained before. So at the same time as I had my first job in marketing as a marketing manager in this conferencing company, I put together a meetup on meetup.com called Cambridge Marketing Meetup at the time. And lo and behold, 50 people came to the first event.
How much food did you have prepared for people?
Honestly, so this is fast forward a long way, but 2 years ago, we spent 33% of our revenue on pizza, you know, which is ridiculous. So, you know, it gives you an idea of scale.
Yeah.
But the funny thing about that was, was I just carried on doing it. And what would happen over the course of time is folks would come up to me and say, this thing that you're doing in Cambridge, well, I'm driving 2.5-3 hours from another city to come to this canteen.
Way.
Yeah, to come to this event.
Holy moly.
And so the question that they asked was, can I do this closer to my house? And so, you know, 24-year-old Joe just said, yeah, whatever, you know, and to be honest, neither me nor my dad, who regularly reminded me of this, understood why people wanted to do it under the marketing meetup banner rather than just doing it themselves. But they did. And so over the course of time, we grew out these 13 locations in the UK and likewise in New York. And, you know, that's how the marketing meetup grew. I would say at the beginning, all it was a hobby. It was a place which fulfilled those needs, learning, meeting, and doing it in a place based around kindness and looking after each other. But over time, we kind of defined it a little bit more. So at the beginning of every event, we now say, listen, say hello, and be positively lovely. And those are our three values. You know, that's everything we stand for at the marketing meetup. Even while the marketing meetup was growing, for the first 2 or 3 years, I was doing it for free, really, because I loved it. I loved meeting people and stuff like that. And I even took a job in an agency during that time as well. So I'd left my first job and took a job working for an e-commerce agency, again, as a marketing manager. It was only really 4 years into the marketing meetup's journey that it was like making enough to match my salary, which wasn't a lot, but it was enough. And yeah, it was at that point that I was able to take it full time, probably about 10 months before COVID struck. So yeah, it was a bit of a journey. And so, yeah, it's a bit of a scattergun journey, but the place that leaves us today is that there's 25,000 people in the community and growing rapidly. There was about 11,000 this time last year. So we've, you know, more than doubled in the past.
Congratulations.
Thanks, man. Honestly, the greatest joy of it is that I think we've stayed true to those values. You know, it's been growing in a way that I'm not really that bothered about mad growth. I'm not going to be your 10x guy. I'm not going to be your 100x guy. I'm just going to be someone in the corner who's just looking to help people, and people are gravitated to it over the course of time. And that's really quite nice.
That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing. That's I think hearing what your values are, it sounds like that has been a part of the founding of it, whether you realized it or not. And then as you refined it and as your audience grew, you realize that that is 100% why people keep coming back. And that I'm going to go as far as to say that's why people wanted to have it under the Marketing Meetup banner and not just host their own events. I think that that's so, so integral in this world. This past year, I mean, I'm sure you've experienced it as everyone else in the world, but what COVID has done for these types of events and in-person events and communities, I find that it's made it stronger. And it sounds like, you know, maybe you could speak to that a little bit, like your growth. I know you said you're not a 10X guy, but 100% growth over the course of a year. Mm-hmm. I think it sounded like people were looking for a community in that space. Can you maybe tell us about how you've shifted? I know you've shifted to a webinar basis, but what are some of those positive changes that you're seeing over COVID that, you know, have been a little bit, I guess, on the fly pivots, but resulted in positive things?
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand. And even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Mm-hmm. Well, first off, thank you. I think that's really, really kind of you to say. So thank you for those observations.
It's so obvious while listening, and it's really cool to hear about it.
Thank you. So the first thing I would say is it's neither a negative or a positive thing, but it's a definite reflection of the past year, is that going into, and because this is a marketing conversation, the folks listening will get this, but going into COVID time, then I thought the people that we helped were marketing managers in companies of 1 to 20 people, mm-hmm. likely with fairly small budgets. What I actually found was that the demographics really didn't matter at all. It was actually all about sort of psychographics. And the reason why I say that is that to start off with, you know, when COVID hit, we started speaking to everyone in the community the same way as we'd always spoken to them. You know, which was a very jovial, friendly, happy tone. And for folks who that had resonated with entirely mm-hmm. before, all of a sudden had been thrust into this unusual world and they were therefore reacting to messaging in an entirely different way. the point of this is that when you think about demographics, you start questioning yourself. You're like, well, they're still a marketing manager. They're still working in 1-20 people companies. So why isn't the messaging landing in the same way as it used to? Well, the reason is that it's all about psychographics. It's all about how people think. You know, so actually the people that make up the marketing meetup and the folks that we look to target the most are people that are curious, people who come to be positively lovely. And I know it sounds twee, and like the event I did in New York, people said, oh, that is literally the most British thing I've ever heard in my life. But, you know, like it's true. Positively lovely encapsulates everything we want people to come, you know, best foot forward, willing to learn, willing to give. You know, these are the people that we need to target. These are the messages that we need our community to resonate with. So that was a real gear shift for me, you know, rather than sort of like thinking, you know, stick it into Facebook ads and sort of try and find some people based on demographics. It's like, you know what, we're going to double down on just looking after people. And the way that manifested itself was in a few ways. So the first was through our communications, broadcast-based communications. We would do things like, rather than sending a newsletter which sort of said, you know, here's the top 10 things you need to know about marketing this week, instead we just sent an email to our entire database saying, you know, hey, are you okay? And gave folks the opportunity to respond. And lo and behold, that day I got, you know, a few hundred responses back from people saying, you know what, I'm not actually okay today. And between me and James, who's my right-hand man on everything marketing meetup, we responded to every one of them, whether that was through email or whether that was a drift video made specifically for that person. You know, so I think the first reflection in answer to your question is that demographics don't work, psychographics do. But more importantly, you know, just putting your best foot forward in terms of looking to help people in a genuine sense, people genuinely respond. And also, you know, as a result, you can grow, you know, and we all know that word of mouth is the best form of marketing in the world. And therefore, if you treat your core, you know, for us, even though we use the headline figure of 25,000 people, there's probably cores within that of, you know, 5,000, 1,000, even 100. If you treat those people exceptionally well, then that 25,000, that big number gets bigger and bigger. So that's definitely been a learning over the past year. The second thing for us has certainly been about, and it's less marketing based, but more of a general observation, is that there's definitely opportunity in any adversity that comes through. So, you know, we thought we were an events company and we had 140 events planned around the world, you know, over 2020. If you were to say, you know what's going to be a thing that kills off your business, you're fairly strong that a global pandemic would do that. And I remember, you know, the day we had to cancel 140 events, feeling really, really sad. And in fact, spending probably a week feeling very sorry for myself, licking my wounds, not really speaking to anyone about it, in a bit of a dark place. But then come the weekend that followed that, then I decided to do something about it. And so I emailed Mark Ritson, Rory Sutherland, Ram Fishkin. I emailed some more as well, and they couldn't do it, but I emailed those three and they said yes. And so lo and behold, we had an online event schedule better than almost anyone else in the world within a weekend of emailing people. And all it took was a bit of proactivity and a bit of seeing opportunity in adversity. So I think certainly as an observation, then there is almost always opportunity in adversity. And the final observation on that is about community, which is that it would have been very easy for us to characterize ourselves as an events company because that's what we did. But actually what we did was provide, and this goes back to the psychographics point, we provided a kind, welcoming place where people could learn and get better together. It didn't really matter what we did as a sort of channel. And this is a point that can be applied to wider marketing. It doesn't really matter what your tactics are. It matters what your messaging is. It matters what your strategy is. It matters who the people you are trying to help. You know, so the switch, you know, people say to me from time to time, oh, you did so well. you know, and for me, honestly, it wasn't like that at all. You know, I just did the thing that needed to be done and the message stayed the same, you know, and we still try to help people. Just the way that we did it just changed on a pinhead. So there's a few observations there, but overall, I'd say it's been a mad year, but we're fortunate that it's turned out okay.
It honestly sounds like you guys are coming out of this stronger than you ever have, with a community larger than you ever have, with a really more definitive set of values and actionables that you can take to every one of your meetups online or in person. You have this new addition to the marketing meetup now that would have never happened.
Absolutely. Well, you know, every week we're now getting people tuning in from, you know, Egypt, South Africa, Macedonia, Greece, Netherlands, Canada, and the UK, you know, which is phenomenal. And there's no way we would have reached those people before. So definitely the community has grown because our reach has grown as well. So yeah, couldn't agree more.
I'm curious about your actual meetups, your webinars now. What has been your most popular meetup?
It depends on the metric you choose, right? So something
let's go with attendance.
Okay, so attendance, Mark Ritson. So I don't know whether Mark is Mark big over in Canada. Is he?
He definitely his topics and what he's built is definitely something that interests true marketers. If they're really into a lot of the more avid podcasts and readers would definitely know him. But why don't you give our readers a little bit of more context?
Sure. So Mark is based over in Australia. He was actually born in England. He was previously a professor over in Melbourne and a couple of other very well-known business schools. So he was a professor, but he was also a practitioner. So he's worked with like Unilever, several well-known fashion brands, et cetera, et cetera. He's worked with a lot of the biggest brands while also studying marketing. He writes or has written weekly or monthly or periodically, I'm not even sure, for a publication over here called Marketing Week, which is the best read marketing publication in the UK. So Mark has got a personal brand that is out of this stratosphere in the UK for sure, and certainly in certain circles. And so he was sort of a dream list for us. You know, you sort of got like Seth Godin, Mark Ritson, you know, was pretty much like the two that you want. And fortunately, he said yes. So Mark speaks a lot about a few things. And there's one talk which I think is probably better than any talk that I've ever seen on marketing, which is called On the Contrary by Mark Ritson. And I'd really advise anyone who's into marketing, whether it's today, tomorrow, or yesterday, to go and take a look at it, because it's 40 minutes really well invested. In this particular talk, then Mark breaks down marketing into three stages, which is diagnosis, strategy, and tactics. And I don't want to sort of rip him off here, but so at the diagnosis stage, you're taking the chance to do a bit of market orientation. You're looking to understand what the market really want, agnostic to your product or service. You know, you're just listening. Mm-hmm. At the strategy stage, you're looking to decide what your positioning is, who your target market are, what the messaging is, and really putting together these fundamentals based on your research that you know what people want, and therefore you're going to give it to them in the language that they want to hear it. And you're also going to put together that consistency behind your marketing. At the tactic stage, that's the bit which everyone always gets so flustered about, which everyone sort of ends up reading their top 10 trends for 2021 articles about, which is the actual implementation. So whether it's PPC, SEO, Facebook ads, whatever it may be. Mark has transformed my thinking, because if we go back to me in my first job where I thought social media was marketing, you know, that gave me an appreciation quite early on that social media is just a tactic. You know, it's like anything else, it's interchangeable. You can take it out and replace it with something else depending on who your target market is and the messaging that you're doing. The things that matter in the first instance are first diagnosis and then strategy. So Mark has added an unbelievable amount to the marketing community at large. He now runs his own course called the Mini MBA. I feel like I'm doing his advertising for him, but maybe he's that good. And like, he's been phenomenally successful with it. And certainly in terms of the UK paradigm of marketing, he is really, really sat in the middle of it right now. So I wouldn't be surprised, certainly if you hear stuff coming from across the pond, it's likely to have been influenced by him, especially over these next 5 years. The course that he started really is getting a lot of traction.
I think our listeners will definitely dig into that. Thank you for sharing the resources. You touched on a couple times now about you know, your experience, your mentor's experience on personal branding. And as someone who does have a very strong personal brand and has been building it for years, what is the key when you're building a strategy for strong personal branding on LinkedIn that you can share with our listeners?
I think there's a few. So to start off with, it's not really a term that I like that much. Going back to slimy, personal brand feels a little bit slimy. All we're talking about is a human being turning up in the same shape as what they say they are day in, day out. So that's the first thing. You know, it doesn't need to be overcomplicated. It doesn't need to be made into a cheesy marketing tactic. Mm-hmm. It's just a human being. They're just turning up and they're just helping people. So really that's the fundamentals of personal brand for me. You might be able to hear my five-month-old daughter in the background, by the way, which I make no apologies for. It's 2021. But, so if the listeners can hear that, then there you go. The thing about personal brand is a fewfold. The first is it's about a consistency point. So I don't believe anybody that says you have to post on LinkedIn 5 times a week, otherwise you're not going to be successful. Post as much as you would like on LinkedIn, but mm-hmm. be aware that the thing that is really going to help you is a bit of momentum behind it. So in the first 12 months, it's probably going to feel like pushing treacle uphill. But, you know, from that point onwards, it starts, the snowball starts rolling. So that would be the first thing I say. And there's a guy over here in the UK called John Asperian. John encourages folks to take a 30-month mindset when it comes to building a personal brand or indeed anything, finding any traction. And so that seems as good a model as any. So I'd encourage, first of all, people just to chill out a bit, just mm-hmm. release themselves from needing to be the next overnight success, which, by the way, they don't exist. Mm-hmm. And actually just say, you know what, this is going to be a project that I'm going to work on for the next 30 months. I'm going to see what happens and go from there. So that'll be my first thing on personal brand. The second thing is just about authenticity, which is another buzzword, which I'm bringing out. But, and it's a shame because authenticity is such a lovely concept. It's just spoken about a lot. So when I speak about authenticity, all I mean is just be you, you know, and honestly, it doesn't need to be a lot more complicated than that. I think there's an acceptance that if you turn up in the same shape as in the shape that you are, it's a lot easier to be yourself than it is to be this persona, to be, you know, this thing that you feel like you need to be in business. When I first started my business career, I thought you had to be like a contestant from The Apprentice or something like that to get ahead. And it's just not true. You can be yourself and do absolutely fine. So like, mm-hmm. first of all, mm-hmm. chill out. Second, just be you. Third, there are definitely some tips that it comes to when it comes to copywriting on LinkedIn. So the most important line on your LinkedIn posts is always going to be your headline. So take the time to really, really craft your headline. The best tip that I've ever received on crafting headlines is to write whatever your copy is for your post and then take the third sentence. Whatever the third sentence is usually the thing that you're trying to say with your post. So just push that back up to the top. And all of a sudden, you've got pretty much your headline. If that doesn't work, then there are other ways to do it. I actually wrote an exhaustive how to do LinkedIn posting blog post quite recently, in which I go into quite a bit of detail on this. So maybe rather than sort of speak through quite a few different models, if I could share that with you and your audience, that would be really lovely. And maybe we could put that in the show notes. I'm just imposing that upon you. So
honestly, while you're talking, I'm going onto my LinkedIn and I'm checking what did I do to see if I've checked some of these boxes. No, those are really, really helpful.
Good. Well, and then the last thing is very simple. So there's a bunch of tips and tricks, right? So, you know, never share anything because the reach is trash, you know? So when I say share, you know, the share
reshare
button.
Something, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't do anything. So your posts aren't going to get any sort of traction. Whatever things. I tend to post quite early in the morning between 8 and 9 o'clock local time. That's not scientifically provable. It just seems logical that people will be flicking through their phone around that sort of time. Mm-hmm. So that's when I post most days. Scheduling doesn't seem to have any adverse effect on your LinkedIn posts. So again, going back to this John Asperian chap, he did an experiment where he scheduled a bunch of posts first versus putting in natively into LinkedIn, and statistically it didn't seem to make any difference. So the point of encouragement there is to write when you feel inspired. Take the time to, you know, sit down one day, and if you've got a few thoughts in your head, just pop it in the scheduler and Bob's your uncle. You know, you can kind of start posting 5 times a week without even knowing about it. You could write 2-3 updates in one go. On comments, make sure you're always replying to your comments, because that will always boost the algorithm. Yeah, there's just a bunch of stuff, but really it always comes back to those fundamentals of just being yourself and turning up in the same shape.
Definitely. Those first 2 points to our listeners, I would agree with, are the most important when it comes to that. And I totally feel the same way. The buzzword of personal branding, it doesn't really make me feel good about it. For me, this is also why I don't like the term influencers, even though they're so integral, or what they do, you know, the reach and incorporating them into an overall digital marketing strategy is important. I've never liked the term. I've never liked, you know, the way that the industry approaches that term. But when you shift, you know, your wording, like key opinion leaders, that makes a lot more sense than having something that is, you know, it's too much about me or the person. Yeah. And this is tying us right back to the first topic we had at the beginning of our conversation, is backs towards the people, or open up and be open to people.
100%. I couldn't agree more. A really, really lovely point there. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Joe, I have a fun rapid fire speed round for you here. I mean, I've got, I suspected you and I would have a great chat, and, you know, you'd be really relatable for me and our listeners, but I need to do this rapid fire questions. Otherwise I'm going to keep talking to you for like an hour, and I'm going to have to extend the podcast. But
that's good.
I think that the insights that you have been super valuable. And I think that what better way to deliver a bunch of really awesome insights than in a gut reaction, quick fire way.
I love it. All right. Sounds good, man.
All right. So here we go. What was your first job? And I bet there was a job before that 100K unlimited money job.
First job. Was either as a warehouse operative or as a waiter. I can't remember which, but one of those two.
One of the W's.
In fact, it was definitely a waiter for £3.60 an hour. So that's probably what, $5 an hour, something like that.
All right. What was your worst job?
SAP consultant, for sure.
Got it. I was going to answer that. Hurry, I didn't want to make an assumption, though. You've mentioned several books that you found through some of your guest speakers, but what is a business or marketing book personally that you could recommend to our listeners?
I think probably one that most folks wouldn't have read who have listened to this, but would really enjoy, and it's one of many, is a book called Watertight Marketing.
Watertight Marketing.
Yeah, by Bryony Thomas, which is super actionable, very directive, but also really drives home that point around strategic marketing. If I could sneak in a second one, it would be by a fellow Canadian called Graham Robertson, called Beloved Brands. And likewise, that's fabulous. And the one big takeaway I've had away from Graham's work is his big question that he asks himself and those around him is, do I love this? And if the person creating the content or whatever it is does not love the thing that they're creating, then he says, go back and get to a place where you love this. And I think that love as an input in your marketing is really, really important. I think people know if you've created something with love for them.
Absolutely. Thank you for the recommendation. Now, you are a parent, you are an entrepreneur, and you are kind of a key stakeholder within the marketing and industry and community within the UK. What is a life hack that you'd be willing to share with our listeners?
That there aren't any hacks. You just got to do you. Honestly, there is no such thing as a life hack. You can only be happy. Right. And the only person to know whether you're happy or not is you. So, you know, don't worry about trying to get ahead. Just do you. Comparison is the thief of joy. So, you know.
Great way of putting it.
Yeah. Hacking would intend hacking your way to the top. I would say that there's nothing wrong with enjoying where you are and maybe aspiring for a little bit more. But yeah, So that's probably what I'd say.
Super relevant to social media and how that kind of comes to fruition with community members of all sizes, you know, being able to compare. I love that. Comparison is a thief of joy. What is your biggest marketing pet peeve?
Tacticification of marketing. So folks speaking about marketing as if it's a tactic, when really there's a whole bunch of research, orientation, strategy that goes behind it first, which then breeds consistency in marketing at the tactics level. The second one, if I can sneak it in,
of course,
is people on Twitter who will say marketing is ... and usually it's some vacuous statement like marketing is empathy. And it's like, well, you know, empathy is an important part of marketing, but you know what, the whole of marketing is not just empathy. Otherwise, you know, what would we actually be doing? So
hard, you know, skills, those soft skills,
that's it. Just reducing marketing down to a single tweet and a single sentence, and seeing those tweets fly as well. As much as I try my best to be zen about most things, then that is certainly something which is like, it's just bullshit. Marketing is a bunch of really, really interesting things.
Yeah. And it's really tough.
Yeah, it's really tough. Of course it is, you know, and you know, it's enjoyably tough, but it's far more complex than just empathy in that particular example.
What is a podcast that you could leave our listeners with, and self plug your own, please?
So the Marketing Meetup podcast is where we pop all of our webinars up afterwards. So we just take an audio rip from our webinars and pop them up on the Marketing Meetup podcast. So do take a listen to that. So Everyone Hates Marketers is a joy. Louis Grenier is a genius and fortunately a good friend too. And then that's probably one of the few marketing-based podcasts I listen to, because I spend a lot of time listening to other things. So I love history and I love football, so soccer to you. And so I probably spend a lot of time there because it's really, really good to break out the bubble. And,
absolutely.
So I've been listening to a lot of stuff, actually quite morbid stuff around dictators quite recently, but it's so interesting in terms of getting the sense of perspective on life.
And you and me both. Sort of,
yeah, really?
Yeah. Nice. I've been listening to a couple of podcasts that are, they're about, specifically about Savage History. Is a crazy one.
Okay,
I'm now unplugging the podcast, but yeah.
Well, I need to check that out. So another really good one is Real Dictators, and really beautifully produced, quite similar production values to Business Wars, which is another great one. Quite similar production values to Heavyweight, which is a Gimlet Media one, which is fantastic. But yeah, this Real Dictators one has got me hooked right
nice.
Now. So definitely check out Heavyweight, Reply All, Business Wars, Real Dictators. There's loads. But yeah, don't just stick to marketing.
Thank you so much, Joe. I'd love for you to be able to leave our listeners with just maybe a little suggestion of how to be positively lovely going into a world that is opening back up, where we're going to be able to interact with each other and see each other in person and give hugs again, you know. How should our listeners go into, you know, Q4 here and then into 2022 being positively lovely from the guru of positively lovely?
I would say that kindness goes a long, long way, and kindness defined as thinking of other people before you think of yourself, or even on an equal level. That's a hell of a way to live your life. It's a hell of a way to leave an impact. So just look after each other a little bit, and it doesn't need to be a lot more complicated than that, I don't think.
Beautiful. How can our listeners get a hold of you if they want to talk about something, check out the marketing meetup, or just share some thoughts after listening to some of yours today?
So folks can go to, they can either go to our website, themarketingmeetup.com, where they can also go back in time and see all of our talks from forever. If they want to get in touch with me personally, then I spend far too much time on LinkedIn. So I'm just Joe Glover, and I'm the bald guy with glasses. So you can find me on there. And yeah, those would be the two main sources. And then the Marketing Meetup. And if you do check out the Marketing Meetup website, then do check out our newsletter as well, because I try to put a lot of love into creating that. And even if you can't make the live events based on time zones, then you always get the roundups of our events right there as well. So it's a nice source.
Amazing. Joe, I'm going to be the one of these people getting in contact with you, but I really appreciate all of the wisdom, all of the context and insights you've been able to share today. Our listeners will pull a ton of value from this. I really wanted to say it's great to talk to you. It's amazing to hear how you've defined what your community is about, how you refined it, how you've grown it through one of the toughest times, to have real life in-person meetups. Thanks a lot today. It's been very inspiring and I really enjoyed, you know, our conversation.
Thanks, man. I loved it too. So thank you for taking the time.
All right. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Marketing News Canada. For more episodes and other great stories from Canadian marketers, visit marketingnewscanada.com. All episodes are recorded in the Jelly Marketing Studio, thanks to our producer, Chris Penner, and editors Travis Jeffers and The Podfather.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.